going, I've got a very quick announcement for any men who enjoy a men's breakfast with folk from other churches. There's going to be a men's breakfast held this Saturday morning, and there's a little poster at the back with more information, or you can get told of Nigel Pascoe, who is preaching at Spurgeon this morning, so he's not here, but if you don't have his details, you can get those from me. So, we've got some children with us, which is a wonderful thing, and I'm going to need, I would say, a few volunteers. Who's going to volunteer? Ben, all right, come forward if you want to get involved with something, and there is a prize involved, so that might add to the numbers. Okay, we've got three. All right, that's fantastic. This is what's going to happen. Inside this basket, there are some building blocks. The one who can build the highest tower, you're going to go one at a time, the one who can build the highest tower is going to get this wonderful chocolate, except you're going to need to share it, I think, because it's quite substantial. But it was the closest thing that I could find that looked like a tower. Now, there's one thing to keep in mind. You're going to go one at a time, and you're only going to have 20 seconds to build as tall a tower as you can. So everyone come this side so that people can see. Who's going to go first?
Me.
Ben. All right. What you can do is tip a few blocks out if you want to. You can't start yet. All right. And then when you are ready, you are going to tap the go button. And when the time's up, the time's up. Are you ready? Come on, go, 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 go. Ten seconds. Three, two, one. All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, so got to there. All right, yeah, let's give him a hand. Okay, who's next? Okay, you can put them back in here. Oh, you want to keep it up? Okay, fair enough, you can. But if someone else's tower falls and knocks it over, then... Okay, who's next? Ryan. When you're ready, press the go button. Ten, yeah. Five. Oh, all right. Well, that was a very creative tower, but it was a little lower than... So, Ryan, let's put yours back in here. Ben can keep his up. And we'll see, Benaya, if you can beat Ben's tower or not. I'm not going to give you the prize. You're going to have to share it with everyone if you do get it. All right. Okay, so come stand this side so everyone can see you. All right, you ready? Press the go button. Might fall. Ten. No, don't just leave it. Five, four, three, two. All right, let's give him a hand. But I make sure you share it with everyone. Right, now, as well as they did, I'm sure that the lads that were up front will tell you that it's very difficult to build a decent tower in 20 seconds. And most of us will live a rather lot longer than 20 seconds. Even Isaiah has done that. Some of us will, most of us, hopefully, will live more than 20 years, and some of us will even reach triple figures. We heard about some of them getting close to that this morning. And yet, as long as we might have on this earth, it seems a very short time to build anything of significance. A very wise man called King Solomon, not Sing Coleman, King Solomon knew this well. He made a lot of mistakes in his life, but one of the wise things he came to understand was that in the end, everything is meaningless. Like a tower that falls down before it's completed. And I'm very impressed that none of the towers fell. I was expecting that most of them would go all over the place in the 20 seconds. But you lads built carefully and well, and they didn't fall. But King Solomon said that everything is meaningless, like a tower that's half built and it just falls down. In fact, King Solomon thought about this so much that he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, in which he said, vanity of vanities. In other words, everything is kind of like a morning mist that comes and then disappears, like the breath. If you've ever been outside on a cold day and you breathe out your warm air and it disappears as a mist, it just disappears. In the words of a different version, King Solomon said, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And that's found in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2 and 12 verse 8. But it's a theme that carries throughout the book. He came to see that everything under the sun is meaningless, and he had tried a lot of different things. So when he said everything, he really meant everything. And yet he ended the book of Ecclesiastes by concluding that the meaningless of life dissolves in the presence of the Lord. Everything is meaningless, said King Solomon, unless it is done to the glory of God. In other words, living for God makes all the difference. And in building according to his design, we discover the true meaning of life. These are the final words of Ecclesiastes, which are found in chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. The end of the matter, all has been heard. And this is what his final conclusion was. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the most important thing in life, that we fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So we need to be careful how we live. We need to live according to God's plan, knowing that God is sovereign. In the end, King Solomon realized that what really matters is not how high a tower we can build, but whether or not we belong to God and live for him. King Solomon also wrote Psalm 127 that we've heard this morning, read by Jane, which begins with the following words: unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You see, by the end of his life, King Solomon could say with absolute certainty that anything we do apart from the Lord is a waste of time in the end. And even if we think we've achieved a great deal by building houses on our own, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This year or next year, or even after we have passed on and left everything to the next generation, all that we have built might be snatched away in an instant, like a falling tower or like a mist that just disappears. And so we shouldn't spend our lives building towers that the Lord hasn't called us to build. This is what verse 2 of Psalm 127 means by saying, it is in vain that you rise up early and go to rest late, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Now, to be clear, King Solomon wasn't saying that hard work is to be avoided. Far from it. After all, the ability to work hard and to make a difference in the world is a wonderful gift from God. In other places like Proverbs chapter 6, King Solomon firmly calls his readers to work hard and not to be lazy. Verse 6 to 9 read as follows: go to the ant, O sluggard. Or in the classic King James language that some might be familiar with, look to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? We certainly shouldn't sleep all the time, avoiding the good work that God has called us to engage in, be it homework or providing for our families or some kind of service or ministry. But we also shouldn't lose sleep at night because we are anxiously constructing our own version of the Tower of Babel. Whatever line of work we may be in, when we know we are living for His glory and not for our own, we experience a peace that is unlike anything else we could ever know. And that is what Psalm 127 verse 2 means when it says, "For He gives to His beloved sleep. He calms the storms and stills our souls." If we are relentlessly breaking our backs, working long hours with no Sabbath rest on the horizon and continuously filled with anxiety, perhaps it is time for us to stop and remember that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. In place of trusting in our own abilities, perhaps it is time for us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not on our own understanding, as Proverbs 3 verse 5 calls us to do. If we do so, we will surely find that it becomes increasingly possible to be anxious about nothing, and instead by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests, of which there may be many, be made known to God. This is what Philippians 4 verse 6 calls us to do. Now, what kind of houses is King Solomon talking about building in Psalm 127? We know from the Bible that he built the great temple, which is also known as the house of the Lord. But verse 3 to 5 of Psalm 127 take an interesting turn. Verse 3 reads, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. The family structure suddenly comes into focus, suggesting that King Solomon was speaking of more than physical houses and cities in the first two verses. After all, houses and cities are built to serve the people who live in them, and church buildings serve the people in their worship of God. Also, in Hebrew culture, as in British culture, to speak of a house is often to speak of a family and not of a physical building. Most famously, the British royal family is known as the House of Windsor. The whole of the psalm then can be very effectively applied to the building of a healthy family. When the Lord builds the house and when Christ is central in a home, the hard work of parenting has great purpose and is not done in vain. In dedicating baby Isaiah to the Lord this morning, we were declaring the Lord as the true builder of his life and of our family. As much as Sarah and I will do our very best as parents, we're merely fallible vessels to be used by God in Isaiah's life. More than anything, we want Isaiah to be built up and established by the Lord. First and foremost, he belongs to the Lord, and we trust that the Lord will make his path straight. Back to Psalm 127, verse 4 and 5 say, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." Like an arrow, there will come a time when we release Isaiah into the world, and we hope that he accomplishes much as he flies toward the goal set for him by the Lord. And with these verses in mind, as our child, we hope that in some way he will be an extension of our ministry into the world, and that he will continue to be used by God long after we have parted ways with the earth. This is one of the many reasons that children are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord, as King Solomon describes them to be in verse 3. Of course, Isaiah is our biological son, but this psalm isn't only speaking of biological children. As New Life Church, we are a spiritual family, as Dave mentioned a little earlier, and within our number are spiritual mothers and fathers who may or may not have children of their own. And there are spiritual children who've been gathered into our family by God's goodness and grace. As a family, we are called to love and to care for each other. So on this all-age family service, let's give thanks for each other, and let's look for opportunities to deepen our bonds of unity and love, and let's renew our commitment before the Lord to trust in Him always, living grateful and surrendered lives before Him, and laying aside any building plans of our own that don't align with His will, always seeking His ways for our church family. Let's ask Him to continue building us up and establishing us up according to His good purposes. Amen.